Welcome to What the Paper Said, in which I, Patrick Crozier, skim through the Times from 100 years ago, read some of the articles and comment on the ones I find interesting. In this episode, the week ending the 11th of November 1923, Trouble in Munich. But first, some of the items that have caught my attention this week. Former Prime Minister Andrew Bonar-Law, who died last week, has been buried in Westminster Abbey. His death creates a vacancy for his Glasgow Central seat. Some are suggesting that Winston Churchill would be a good candidate. There has been an anti-Semitic riot in Berlin, not apparently anything to do with the Nazis, who at this point appear to be an exclusively Bavarian movement. There has been a riot in Melbourne, Australia, where the police have gone on strike. The hunger strike of the anti-treaty prisoners in Ireland is on the verge of collapse. And in the ongoing struggle for control of the Ku Klux Klan, one of its attorneys has been shot dead. Two birds with one stone, so to speak. I saw this in Wednesday's edition. One of the old snuff mills at Juniper Green, Midlothian, which has been working for over two centuries, has ceased operations owing to the decline of the snuff habit. I can't help thinking that the decline of snuff is related to the rise of another tobacco product, the cigarette. And people say it's a bad thing. In November 1918, Germany lost the First World War. The monarchy was abolished and a republic was proclaimed. In the Treaty of Versailles, Germany lost territory, was forced to accept the occupation of the left bank of the Rhine by Allied troops, and was presented with the bill for the war. Its army, the Reichswehr, was reduced to 100,000, which may sound a lot by today's standards, but in those days was tiny. Almost immediately, communists tried to overthrow the new government, followed by nationalists, and then the communists again in Bavaria. Assassinations were commonplace. As the government faced a financial crisis, it chose to print money, which led to hyperinflation. As food is becoming scarce and riots and other insurrections common, the central government has introduced martial law. See the 30th of September episode. The riots have continued. In a unique arrangement, Bavaria has its own dictator, Gustav von Kahr, who is a monarchist and a nationalist. He was something of a surprise choice, there being little love lost between him and the Berlin authorities. Romance has not bloomed since his appointment. This is from Wednesday, the 7th of November. Under penalties of a fine and imprisonment, the following newspapers in future are not permitted to circulate in Bavaria. The Berliner Tageblatt, the Vorwärts, that's the socialist newspaper, the Vossische Zeitung, the Bösen Kurier, the Frankfurter Zeitung, and Berliner Zeitung am Mittag. In attempting to justify this edict, it is announced that these newspapers have misrepresented conditions in Bavaria, and have been responsible in northern Germany for a campaign of hatred against Bavaria. What is probably the real reason is admitted when it is also stated that these journals have criticised adversely the actions of Herr von Kahr and his advisers. The public in Bavaria and elsewhere will have little difficulty in deciding whether Herr von Kahr is above criticism or merely afraid of it. There's other trouble. Bavarians are peculiarly unwilling to allow the Allies to inspect their military facilities. This is from Thursday the 8th. As far as Bavaria is concerned, it is clear that it will not be possible to guarantee the personal safety of the Allied officers if they attempt to carry out any inspection of barracks or factories. It is difficult to see the reason for so much indignation if the daily official denials of military activities in Bavaria are to be believed. On the other hand, it is common knowledge that between 10 and 15 factories are equipped for, and in several cases engaged, in manufacturing machine guns. There are besides at least three factories equipped for turning out moderately heavy artillery. Under the guise of harmless social gatherings, almost every evening of the week in obscure skittle alleys and beer halls, arms and ammunition are being served out to the Hitler stormtroops. Frequently an NCO of the Reichswehr or Green Police, I'm not quite sure what the Green Police is present in the capacity of instructor. Maybe the Green Police are gendarmes of some description. In the various barracks, recruits of the patriotic organisations are receiving training, although officially they are not shown on the strength of the Reichswehr. Maybe Hitler's remark last week about a march on Berlin wasn't so much bluster. Friday demonstrates that it really wasn't. Ludendorff coup. Not the Hitler coup? Ludendorff being the man who was effectively in charge of Germany in the last year of the war, and Hitler were allies. Ludendorff just had the greater name recognition. Yesterday was the fifth anniversary of the establishment of the German Republic, and the nationalist threat, not one that I've seen in the Times, to celebrate the day with a putsch was carried out in Munich. Reports received early this morning state that a directory of five, headed by Herr Hitler and General Ludendorff, has assumed power and claims to rule not only Bavaria, but the whole of Germany. I wonder if they'll succeed. This is from Saturday the 10th. Ludendorff captured. Oh. Munich revolt checked. Ah. Von Kahr changes sides. The attempt of General Ludendorff and Herr Hitler, with the support of their extreme nationalist followers, to seize power in Bavaria and challenge the Berlin government has failed. The two leaders have been arrested, though it is reported that Hitler has since escaped. He hasn't. Details of the events in Munich on Thursday night and yesterday morning are lacking, but it is understood that Herr von Kahr and General von Lossow, the Reichswehr commander, were surprised into giving their assent at first to the drastic programme of the Ludendorff-Hitler party. But as soon as they had had time to make the necessary arrangements, they set about suppressing the movement. Hitler let them go. The comment of the Berlin press in general is one of satisfaction that Ludendorff has thrown off his mask and has been so easily dealt with. Some surprise is expressed at the sudden change in attitude of Herr von Kahr and General von Lossow. Their conversion to the support of the constitution they had only recently violated is considered very sudden. Everything is quiet in Berlin. I think the Times is referring to a scare a couple of weeks ago in which an army unit was reported to have pledged loyalty to Bavaria rather than Berlin. The secret had been well kept, the speech of Herr von Kahr to the professional classes having been arranged some time previously. The meeting at which it was delivered was held in the hall of a Munich brewery and was well attended. It was, he said, on that day 5 years ago that Germany had collapsed, and today the foundations of the new national army were to arise in Germany. As he said this, there was a commotion in the hall, and Herr Hitler, with some men at his back, forced his way to the platform. He had brought in all some 600 men, with whom he had surrounded the building. At a very early stage, General von Lossow gave orders for the arrest of General Ludendorff and Herr Hitler. Hitler did not forget von Kahr's supposed treachery and, spoiler alert, had him killed during the Night of the Long Knives. The Beer Hall Putsch, as we call it these days, is honoured with an editorial. It is fortunate for Germany and for the whole of Europe that the insurrection engineered by General Ludendorff and Herr Hitler in Munich has been so quickly suppressed. Is it? Even at this distance it is difficult to tell. In making his premature coup in association with the house decorator and demagogue, Hitler, on the fifth anniversary of the German Republic, General Ludendorff committed the most foolish error of tactics. Not only did he misinterpret the temper of the German people as a whole, he misunderstood the attitude of those very Bavarian separatists who have recently been in conflict with the government of Berlin. First of all, notice how the Times thinks it's Ludendorff rather than Hitler who is pulling the strings here. Secondly, even knowing what happened, I'm surprised that von Kahr didn't throw his lot in with Hitler and Ludendorff. He was a nationalist, he was no Democrat, the central government was extraordinarily weak. Why not be part of a coup? Having said that, it would appear that the decision to make him Bavarian dictator was inspired. Not that it mattered in the end. It is satisfactory that the Ludendorff myth has been exploded, and that the most dangerous elements in the reactionary movement in Bavaria and elsewhere have, for the time being at any rate, received a severe check. As another Austrian once said, I'll be back. Anyway, that's all for this week. I aim to have something up next week, but I promise nothing.